of Ms. Dezhurova, I don't know. Will the other scientists up there with you accept her, or will they want another scientist to be named mission director? I'd like to know what they think." Jamie felt surprised that Trumbull was not insisting outright that his son be named director. "As far as your request to go out and look at your supposed cliff dwelling, it's all right with me if it's all right with the rest of your people. You've got an extra rover vehicle, thanks to my son. Use it to go out there and take a look. If it's real, it'll be the greatest tourist attraction since the crucifixion." The picture winked off. Trumbull had had his say. He'd gotten his way. Jamie sat there feeling as if a heavyweight boxer had just punched him in the gut. A tourist attraction. The greatest discovery in the history of the world, of two worlds, and all he can think of is a goddamned tourist attraction. Jamie wanted to leap to his feet and scream. "I'll be working for him," he realized. "If the cliff dwellings are real, I'll be leading him to them so he can build a fucking Disneyland around them. I'll be a Judas goat, a traitor to everything and everybody." He sank his head in his hands. He wanted to cry, but knew that he couldn't. The sun was already up at Ares Vallis, and Dex was driving the rover while Craig ate breakfast. They had decided to eat in shifts now rather than stop the rover for meals. The comm screen flickered, then Jamie's dark, somber face formed on it. With just a glance, Dex saw that Jamie looked terrible, as if he'd been up all night, red-eyed and wrinkled. "I assume I didn't wake you," Jamie began, his voice tight, almost hoarse. "No, we've been percolating along for nearly an hour," Dex chirped happily. Without further preamble, Jamie said, "I've just told your father I'm willing to step down as mission director. I recommend that Stacy take over the job." Dex felt a clutch of surprise, then heard himself ask, "What did my father say?" "He said it's okay with him as long as the rest of you agree." Son of a bitch, Dex thought. Dear old Dad wouldn't recommend me for the job, not him. He doesn't think I could handle it. He said to Jamie, "What's everybody back there think about this?" "They don't know about it yet. It's too early for them to be up." Craig came up to the cockpit, chewing on a piece of pre-cooked omelet, and slipped into the right-hand seat. "They won't have any objections to Stacy," Dex said, trying to keep his seething anger from showing. "Do you?" Jamie asked.
"She's not a scientist," Craig said.
Jamie nodded solemnly. "But she knows what she's doing, and she understands what we're doing. I think she's the best one for the job." "Obviously," Dex snapped. Craig said, "I got no gripes with her. She's got a good head on her shoulders." "I'd like this to be unanimous, Dex," Jamie said. "Sure, why not? You agree? That's what I said, isn't it?" "Okay, okay, thanks. For nothing." Once Jamie's image winked out, Craig leaned over and grabbed Dex's shoulder.
"You think the job should have gone to you?"
Dex grinned at his shaggy bearded partner. "To tell the truth, Wiley, I think Stacy's better for the job than I'd be."
"Sure you do."
"I do, honest. But that doesn't mean I don't want to be the boss."
"You're pissed at Jamie for not naming you," Craig probed.
"No," Dex said, shaking his head. And he found that it was the truth. He felt no anger at Jamie. The Redskin was only doing what he thought was best for the mission. But dear old Dad, Dex thought, his insides raging. The old son of a bitch wouldn't lift a finger on my behalf. He doesn't think I could handle it. He doesn't trust me with any responsibility at all. Dex leaned on the accelerator harder. I'll show him. I'll show them all. How, he did not know. But Dex felt a steel-sharp determination hardening inside him. It doesn't matter if Jamie's in charge or Stacy or the friggin' man in the moon. I'm going to be the head of this expedition one way or the other. Jamie saw the strange, almost feral look on Dex's bearded face before he cut the comm link to the rover. He's angry. Pissed as hell. He wanted to be the director, and he's furious that he's not getting the job. He got up from his little desk and stretched, letting tendons crack and vertebrae pop. I'm free of it now, Jamie thought. Now I can concentrate on getting back to Tithonium and seeing just what that cliff structure really is.
Stacy's going to have a tough time of it, he knew. Dex will be running up her back the minute he gets here. He shook his head. That's not your problem anymore. Now you're free to do what you came here for. Just one more task, and then you're a free man. All you've got to do now is tell Stacy the joyous news. And the others. They'll all agree that Stacy's right for the job. It'll be unanimous. No sweat. All you've got to do is tell them about it. And tell Vijay. Book 3. The Cliff Dwelling. The sky gods place the red world farther from Father Sun than the blue world, and also much closer to the small worldlets that still swarmed in the darkness of the void, leftover bits and pieces from the time of the beginning. Often they streaked down onto the red world, howling like monsters as they traced their demon's trail of fire across the pale sky. Small, cold, bombarded by sky demons, its air and water slowly wasting away, the creatures of the red world had to struggle mightily to keep the spark of existence glowing within them. Even so, death struck swiftly and without remorse. The Process of Decision, Sol 99. "You can't go alone," said Stacy Dezhurova.
"Why not?" Jamie asked.
"It's out of the question, Jamie."
"But there's nobody else who can come with me now that Tomas is hurt."
He and Stacy were in her quarters, which Dezhurova had turned into something of an office since being named mission director. She did most of her work there, summoning people in to see her rather than going out to them as Jamie had. He sat on the little wheeled typist's chair that Dezhurova had commandeered for her cubicle, while Stacy sat rigidly in the desk chair facing him. The responsibility of command has changed her over the past month, Jamie thought, looking over the tight lines around her mouth and eyes. She's doing a good job, but it's taking a lot out of her. The cubicle was pathologically neat. Bunk made up precisely, desktop clear, papers and clothes put away in their proper places. Yet she had stopped wearing the standard-issue coveralls. Instead, she had pulled on a heavy, khaki, loose-fitting shirt with military-style epaulets and a pair of faded jeans from her personal locker. And Stacy had chopped her sandy brown page boy down to a military buzz cut. Jamie was surprised to see streaks of gray in it. On the other hand, Jamie felt more relaxed and free than he had ever been. His responsibilities were almost totally gone. He could devote himself completely to planning his trip back to the Grand Canyon and the niche in the cliff face where he had seen the building. Jamie was certain of that. What he had seen in that cleft in the rock was one or more buildings. Buildings constructed by intelligent Martians. He was certain of it. But was he right? "I'll find out in another few days," he told himself. "Once I get past this problem of a partner to go with me." "Look, Stacy, I'm not trying to give you a hard time," he said. "But I just don't see who you can spare to go on this excursion with me."
"Then you are not going," she said flatly.
"Now, come on." Dezhurova shook her head stubbornly.
"Jamie, you know the safety regulations as well as I do. Nobody is allowed beyond walk-back range alone."
"But Tomas won't be fit for that kind of work for weeks."
"Then either you wait, or we pick somebody else to go with you."
Rodriguez had come close to killing himself in an accident with the solar-heated kiln that made the glass bricks for the greenhouse they were building around the garden dome. He had burned his hand badly, right through the glove of his hard suit. Luckily, Trudy Hall had been working with him. She sealed the pressure cuff at his wrist and helped him back inside the dome while he groaned with pain. So now the astronaut's duties were confined to sitting at the comm console and serving as a one-handed mission communicator. "I can make it by myself," Jamie insisted. "We can bend the rules a little, Stacy." She gave him a look that was unnervingly like the one his eighth-grade English teacher used to do when he was late with an essay.
"Jamie, you handed me this responsibility, remember?" she said slowly. "I can't let you go out there by yourself. If you get killed, I would never forgive myself."
"But there's nobody else available," Jamie repeated. "You're needed."